Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays throughout the season, we talk to Michael Cohen. He's brought to you by the Thomas Merola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, any other family law needs, go with experience. Go with Thomas Merola online at merolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Find his work at The Athletic. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, Mike, the calls are today where, you know, people are getting on the Aaron Jones bandwagon. How much do you think that he should become a part of the offense going forward? Was that a breakthrough game? Are they going to just make it more of a focal part of the offense? How did you read that performance yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a big positive for Jones and for the offense overall. I don't think anyone in that locker room doubted, you know, what he can do if he touches the ball, you know, a certain number of times. There's plenty of people in that locker room and in that building that, you know, have tremendous belief in Jones's talent, his abilities, and what he can do on a football field. But I think anytime you actually get an opportunity to go out and do that, it reinforces to everybody, you know, just exactly how you can change and influence a game. You know, everybody says the NFL is about what did you do for me lately. And so, you know, a lot of time had passed since Jones's 100-yard game and a couple of receptions against, you know, the Saints last year or the Cowboys last year. I'm not saying that people forgot about it, but when you can do it very recently, I think it just reinforces everything that coaches and teammates thought about you. And so, you know, the discussion in that locker room last night and what I think will be the case moving forward is that this is a team that can't throw it 50 times a game and expect to be successful every single week. There might be weeks where that works, but this team needs to be balanced because of some of their limitations in other areas. And so I think Aaron Jones should definitely be a focal point of the offense moving forward. And Aaron Rodgers said he likes, you know, having Jones in that 15 carry per game kind of range, which I still think it could be a little bit higher than that even. But still, if he gets 15 carries consistently, that's more than what he's been doing earlier this season.
I put a poll up on Twitter last night after Rodgers scored his second touchdown. Or I'm sorry, Aaron Jones did. See, one of them's got to change their name. Aaron Jones scores his second touchdown, and I put, who's the most important, Aaron, Rodgers, or Jones? And everyone starts voting Jones because, you know, whatever. And then the more people that saw the tweet, oh, what a stupid tweet. How dare you? Trying to stir things up. I think I didn't put the real answer on there. I think it's each other. And what Chuck and I were talking about the last hour or so is that if Aaron Rodgers is out for the season, obviously this season is lost. They're not going anywhere. But I think the same thing about Aaron Jones at this point. I think for the Packers to be successful, they need each other. And I would go as far to say that they play an equal role in determining each other's success because I think they complement each other very well. Michael, your thoughts on all that?
It's hard to say because in 16, when they went to the NFC title game after they were 4-6 and they did the run the table and all that kind of stuff, I mean, Rodgers basically got them there by himself, right? I mean, they didn't have a running game that year. And that stretch from when they were 4-6 to the NFC title game was one of the best, you know, 8-game stretches you'll ever see a quarterback play at any level. So does Aaron Rodgers actually need Aaron Jones to, you know, play at a very, very high level? I think the answer is probably no. But this particular team and this version of the Packers, I think, is more dependent on the running game for a lot of different reasons. One, they can't seem to stop shooting themselves in the foot on special teams in some way, shape, or form. And one way to keep your special teams units off the field is to keep moving the chains and dominate possession and all those types of things. So if Aaron Jones can do that, chew up clock and pick up first downs and all that kind of stuff, then that keeps the special teams units off the field. And I also think that, you know, for a defense and for a secondary that is pretty banged up and potentially has a couple more serious injuries after, you know, yesterday's game, they need to be able to win games where, you know, they don't have to necessarily keep teams to 7 or 10 or 14 points. There's going to be some games down the stretch where the Packers probably allow 20 to 24 points, and can the offense do enough to win those games, you know, and sort of offset a subpar performance by the defense? And I think that's where the balance comes in, because you saw there were so much more danger associated with this offense when the Dolphins had no idea if they were going to hand it to Jones or if they were going to throw it to Devontae Adams or Marquez Valdes-Scantling or anybody else. And so I think this particular version of the Packers, because they have some flaws in other areas, they need balance more so than others, you know, whereas, like I said, the 16 team down the stretch when they made the NFC Championship game. That was basically Rodgers by himself.
Do you think they turned the corner at all yesterday with that win, or do you look at it as just a victory against a team that had a bad day and not a very good football team?
Well, what I kind of pointed out is I think there are elements of both. So the first thing you have to say about the Dolphins is that, you know, any team that comes into Lambeau Field in November when it's cold and they're missing four starters on the offensive line and they're missing their quarterback, there's no excuse to losing to a team like that. So this was absolutely a game the Packers had to and should win, and they did so. So I think in that regard, they definitely took advantage of a bad football team. On the flip side of things, I think they outlined a blueprint for how they can be successful moving forward. And this is sort of what I wrote about in my column on The Athletic this morning. They were able to establish the run with Jones. They were able to be more creative in how they used Devontae Adams. And Aaron Rodgers did what he said he wanted to do, which was take shots and throw things to Adams, even on plays where it looks like he might not be as open as other guys on the field. In other words, forcing the ball to your two best playmakers, Jones and Adams. So in my opinion, this could be an example and sort of a roadmap of how this Packers team needs to win week in and week out. I don't necessarily know if it will translate to anything as quickly as Thursday against Seattle or even against the Vikings, you know, in a tough environment there 10 days from now or so, 12 days from now. But I think this is an example of how this Packers team has to win games. And so if they can harness this and find ways to replicate the style that they had against the Dolphins, I think it gives them the best chance to be successful and turn the corner, like you mentioned.
When you have a short week, it doesn't help when there's a lot of guys that get banged up, especially in the secondary. Lucas Patrick, the guard, Nick Perry's working with a knee. But in the secondary, Bashaud Breeland went out with a groin injury, Kentrell Bryce, ankle. And then Alexander, there was some discussion of whether he was concussed or not. What do you know about the injuries to the secondary? And then if these guys can't go, I mean, we could be looking at Raven Green and Tony Brown getting the start back there on Thursday.
Well, it certainly looked like Kentrell Bryce's injury appeared to be serious. I have not heard anything official, but, you know, he was basically inconsolable on his way to the locker room on the cart. And I looked at him through binoculars, and it certainly appeared from our vantage point that he was either sobbing or crying or just in a lot of pain and just, you know, was extremely disheartened with the situation. And so for a guy that has been through a season-ending ankle injury last year, you'd think that he probably has at least a general understanding of what a severe injury is versus something that's not. And so we don't know if he's going to be out for the season. We don't know if it's going to be something where they took x-rays and an MRI and it's actually not that bad. But based on his reaction, you would think that it's, you know, of a significant nature. And then Nick Perry, you know, having a knee problem now as well. He already had an ankle problem. You know, it's just sort of another thing for Perry where he seems to get nicked up all the time. And this would be a very inopportune time for the Packers just because, you know, even though he hasn't necessarily produced very much this season, they've only got four edge rushers on the team. And if you take one away, that makes it really, really hard to have any sort of a rotation, and it makes each guy, you know, less impactful over the course of a game. And so that's something to keep an eye on. And then, you know, like you said, the guys they had back there this week, Tony Brown finishing the game when Breeland went out, and then Raven Green, an undrafted rookie from James Madison, you know, playing back there at the safety spot because, you know, they're very, very short on bodies there. And what I said, you know, in the press box and on my podcast was that I think in the short term, it's hard to say that Gutekunst didn't lose the HaHa Clinton-Dix trade. Now, I'm not saying that in the end it won't be a huge benefit for the Packers if Clinton-Dix either doesn't play well in Washington or maybe, you know, the draft pick that they get in return turns out to be a really stud player. They've had some really big home run players in the fourth round in the past. But in the short term, because of the injuries, I think it's hard to really say that Gutekunst made the right call in trading Clinton-Dix, but that's impossible to predict. It's just a risk that you take, and he rolled the dice, and unfortunately it appears to be coming up snake eyes with the injury bug and with Whitehead being released at safety.
Raven Green making a couple of plays yesterday. Is he a guy who you could see is a good player? Is he just in there because of the injuries? Or is that a guy who would find his way onto the field even if there were injuries? Or weren't injuries?
I think he pretty much played because there were injuries. And then the reason I say that is, you know, we're nine games into the season, and he had not played even a minute part from scrimmage up until this point. So if the Packers had any intention of working him in, you know, if guys were healthy, you know, in other words, just bringing him along slowly and finding a way onto the field, they certainly haven't showed that at any point in time this season. You know, undrafted rookie, like I said, a guy that certainly has some athletic traits that you like and some intelligence that you like. I don't know. It's way too early to say if he can develop into a good player, but I think the pattern this season was clear that, you know, if he could only play on special teams, that's what the Packers preferred. So, you know, take that for what you will, I guess.
Michael Cohen, you can find his work at The Athletic, Michael_Cohen13. We'll check in a couple days, start to preview the Seattle matchup, Michael. Until then, we will talk soon.
All right, see you guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.